long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday morning here with Robin Walter. God bless you. It is great to be back in the studio. I have been traveling for a period of time here, and it's hard to do the program on the road, and sometimes it's hard to do it in the studio. But in any event, it's good to be back, and let's just get started with prayer. I have a lot I want to cover today on a pretty sensitive topic. So, let's roll. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God. We give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord Jesus. We thank you for delivering us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for making a path straight for us, ahead of us, if we will just follow you, if we will obey your word. Father, strengthen us in these latter days, in the time in which we are in, the time in which it seems, according to your word, that you've given a strong delusion on the earth that people would believe a lie. And so, Father, I ask that you would just instruct and speak to me, but also to speak through me to the people that you love dearly, listening to this program in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is... You know, whenever you go out, now I wouldn't say go out on a limb. I'm not out on a limb here on anything. I don't feel like. If you're speaking the truth, it's not a limb. That's the trunk. That's the foundation. But I'm going to call this program today the 12-Step Program for Anti-Semitic Christians. And I use the word Christians actually quite loosely here. The more I come out and in support of Israel and the Jews, it seems like the more negative feedback I get. That's okay. Whether it's West Coast, East Coast. In fact, a party on the East Coast had commented to me that, and this is a person who so identifies with what I've said 100%, and she's struggling because she has siblings that kind of one is a lapsed Christian of sorts. The other one is the rosary-carrying Catholic. And another one who it just basically hates Israel but calls himself a Christian. You can call yourself anything. I can call myself a fireman. I can put on all of the garb that firemen wear. I could even jump on the fire engine, something that as a kid we were allowed to do, believe it or not, in a volunteer fire department in Lowell, Michigan. Friends, I didn't. I lived too far from the fire department. The whistle would go off. They'd jump on the fire truck, go flying out of town, hanging on to the back end. Hard to believe that was allowed, but it was. But did that make him a fireman? No, of course not. So there's a lot of people that can say they're Christians, and they aren't. But this woman was actually kind of stressed out because of the militancy of the anti-Jewish element and what she heard coming out of their mouths. She can't even talk to them. They won't talk to her because she supports Israel, supports Netanyahu, supports the nation. And they can't tolerate it, and they won't even talk anymore. And I've heard it from other places. And so it seemed like, all right, it's time to just set this straight. And I actually do not object to negativity. Some of the periods of greatest negativity has been what spurred me to do things that I would not have otherwise done had it not been for the negativity. And so I'm looking at your maybe my next book, dealing with why this is such a critical issue, the people turning their back on the nation of Israel, and those who say that's not the nation, and those who are caught up in the replacement theology. All I can say about replacement theology is that it needs to be replaced because it's unbiblical, given the, 750 passages in the Bible that refer to the permanence of the nation of Israel, that God will not, he will not forget them. And God, and the number of times God is talking about a physical Israel, people will say, that's not the real Israel. Well, that's not the real Israel. If that's not the real physical Israel, where is the real physical Israel? Because Scripture points to a physical Israel. I mean, when God says that, you know, let the moon not shine and the sun not come out, if he fails to support and maintain the land of Zion. I mean, I guess I'll just have to come up with all 750 in the book. But it's really amazing that, I don't know if these are false Christians, bogus Christians. It's just hard for me to imagine. First of all, you can't be a Christian unless you have the Holy Spirit, right? Right. But how could you curse what God says to not curse? How could you take a position against an anointed nation? And I'm going to distinguish between the people and the nation more as we go through in this. But how do you internally overcome the Holy Spirit that you could be so deceived on such a matter as this? I think not. I don't think it's, I'm not sure it's possible to be a Christian and take the position of being anti-Jew, anti-nation of Israel, unless one be woefully and abysmally ignorant and deceived and frankly grossly misled to an extent that I don't know how you bring those people back. And I've shared with you why this is an important issue with me, because I was distinctly anti-Semitic right up until the morning I got saved, miraculously. I mean, incredible salvation experience. And people want to know, what changed when you got saved? Was that the last beer I had? No, I'm not going to get into that. Was that the last time I told a lie? No. Wasn't the last time I told a lie. Was last time I lusted for? No. Sorry. Yeah. Those scales, you know, they didn't come off, and some of them are still trying to hang on here and there. But I'll tell you what did change. The one thing that changed was I immediately, nanosecond, fell in love with the nation of Israel. All by God. It was a God thing. It wasn't anything I was seeking. I was seeking salvation. I was seeking an assurance that I wasn't going to hell. I desired to live a godly life. And what changed first and foremost was my love for the nation of Israel, something that can only be done by the Holy Spirit. So the 12-step program here that I want to go through real quickly to bring people to a level of truth and understanding on this, so that they will know what they are dealing with when they are getting heckled by people who, I guess, don't see it the way God sees it. That's the way I see it. I mean, I draw my support and references entirely from Scripture, and people who seem to speak otherwise seem to draw from articles written by men and people who have opinions, but nothing that's actually rooted in the Word of God. So, the word could not be clearer. Point number one. The word could not be clearer that in the end, all Israel will be saved. Now, this is Romans 11 and verses, well, I'll pull it up here in a minute, but I need to read it here shortly. But what does it mean when it says it's saved? Well, the word saved in that context means, like, you know, I saved the kid from drowning. I saved. It was a matter of rescue or deliverance is the context. And this messes a lot of people up. Because God's drastic, incredible, miraculous physical deliverance of the physical nation of Zion, of Israel, in the very last tail end of the tribulation. It was a rescue from a certain disaster and destruction. Just read that passage out of Romans 11, 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, meaning delivered or rescued, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion. Where is Zion? That's Jerusalem. That is a physical land, a physical place. The deliverer. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So you say, well, is every single Jew saved? Well, I don't know. The nation is physically delivered. And the physical deliverance certainly opens them up to the miracle by which they were saved to then accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, I know the passage says not all Jews that say they are Jews. That passage does not really have relevance here. So point number two. So the end of the time is certainly contemplated here. I've talked about it's ahead of us, which must mean that in order for Israel to be saved or delivered, it's delivered in the future. So it must exist now. And if the current Israel isn't really Israel, where is it? I mean, I have read from about four, I think a total of maybe four people so far on this particular topic. And point number three, Israel can't be the church, which some think that it is because of replacement theology, because the church, by definition, is actually already saved. They're already promised a rescue and a deliverance. Even if you look at it in a spiritual sense, they're already saved. Otherwise, they wouldn't be called the church. So it must be an unbelieving group or entity or a people who currently are in a state of unbelief. And that would be the nation of Israel. Number four, the word also says that in the latter days, the whole world, that is every country, will turn against Israel. Israel has to be a physical nation to be turned against. You don't just sort of turn your, well, I don't even want to get into it. I think it's just pretty self-explanatory. Every country will turn against a country called Israel. And if it isn't the land of Jerusalem, Zion, I mean, where is it? Number five, the word also says that Jews will continue to make Aliyah, which is a return to the Holy Land. God's calling them back. It started in a large mass after World War II with the creation of the nation of Israel. But it doesn't stop with that. Which leads to point number six. What will cause that and what will accelerate the return of Jews, true Jews, to Israel? There'll be those who say they are Jews and really aren't, who won't be compelled to go back. One thing, and I shared this a few weeks ago, persecution. Persecution will send them back. And where will the persecution come from? Muslims and bogus Christians. That's where it's going to come from. Those, in fact, the word says, you know, that in the end times, those who persecute you will be those who think that they do God a service. Who does that describe? Muslims. Who does it also describe? Bogus and fake Christians. I mean, I realize that's a contradiction, but they say they are Christian. They really aren't. Or they just are so abysmally and woefully deceived that they're the ones that would think that they're doing God a service along with the Muslims by persecuting the Jews and the nation of Israel. Point number 8. The largest population of Jews in the entire world is not in Israel. Yet. But it's in the U.S. It's in the U.S. So point number 9. What will drive the Jews in the United States back to Israel? Increasingly so. Persecution. It's what's driving Jews in France to Israel. Persecution. It's what's driving Jews back to Israel that are in the Scandinavian countries and Belgium and Denmark and the Netherlands and increasingly Germany. They're not being driven to Botswana. They're being driven to the present land of Israel. Number 10, the Muslim and bogus Christian influence will have to grow to a point to generate that kind of persecution, and it will. As I said a few weeks ago, I firmly believe the U.S. will become a Muslim country, at least in practice. And, you know, I was reading what Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from the Muslim city of Dearborn, Michigan, what she said the other day. She said that the Christians are going to lose. And why are they going to lose? Because we, the Muslims, are, quote, growing and growing and growing. They will outpopulate the Jews. Political money will be taken from the Muslims. The Jews won't have as much to give. Parties, one of the parties for sure, will follow the Muslim money. And in fact, a recent survey said that, not to point to get political here, but if politics reveals the truth of something from the word, then so be it, where it said that now over 70% of Democrats are fully anti-Semitic. So if you're a Christian out there and you are anti-Semitic, look whose side you're on. So number 11. We're getting down there. I got to kind of speed this up. This time goes so fast. The U.S. has played a role in helping establish the nation of Israel and support it, no question, to its present state. But I'm just going to say that a Democrat takeover is going to mean, in essence, a Muslim takeover. In many ways, not the least of which, is going to be an international relations where our nation turns against that nation, and we suffer the curse for doing so. But I need to say under this, number 11 here, it's a paragraph, it's not just a point, that there is no place in Scripture for an eternal role for the United States. There is, though, for physical Israel, which has physical Jews. It's there. People don't like it. Some don't like it. Increasingly more don't like it. But that, it's important to understand, God establishes nations. He raises up kings and brings them down. I mean, there is so much sovereignty reflected in the Word of God. I become probably more and more a bit Calvinist all the time. Not quite fully to the point where everything is predestined and preordained, but you know that some things are. They just are. But there is no place in Scripture for a role for the United States that's eternal in nature. We serve a purpose for a period of time, and then we're removed from the scene. Much, I would say, like Donald Trump. Or there are political figures that serve God's purpose for a period of time. Take Cyrus, a heathen. God called him my man. He made that same reference to Nebuchadnezzar, obviously a heathen. Nebuchadnezzar, my man. I think he said about Nebuchadnezzar. He said he used Cyrus, however. Didn't say that about him, but there's no question about what he put his will in Cyrus's heart so as to be able to enable the Jews to return from Babylon back to Jerusalem. So God raises up these kings, and he brings them down. Did God give us Barack Hussein Obama? Yeah, he did, because you get the government you deserve. And we were fools. We were fools I didn't vote for him, but we were fools to, as a country, to think that somehow we could vote for this guy who was, it wasn't the first black president. He's the first half-black president. He's half Irish. But somehow those who are harboring some long-standing guilt for racism thought that they could be, it could all be absolved if they just voted for the half-black guy. And Joe Biden, we deserve him. Do we deserve Donald Trump? You know, Donald Trump is here by the goodness of God to give us one last chance of getting this right, or at least go down a path of straightening things out, and God bless him. To me, he's a Cyrus. He's a Nebuchadnezzar. Is he saved? I don't know. Is he used of God? No question about it. So God establishes these nations and boundaries. When the purpose is completed, the nation is moved aside, and in the end, U.S. must be moved aside. There's no doubt. Why? Because the word is very clear that Israel will know at the time of its national salvation, without a shadow of a doubt, that its miraculous deliverance can and could only be as a result of a merciful and loving God. Not because of the U.S., not because of any other country. Yes, he's used us. He's used Britain. He's used other countries, bringing us to the end of the end times. But when it gets down to it, it's really just simply this. God is not going to share shelf space with anyone or any country. He's just not going to. He is going to get the glory. He alone will be glorified. And we've had a great purpose and a great history, and I think right now a great present. But it doesn't mean that it's about us, and it also doesn't mean that we are indispensable. We as a nation are being used by God's grace, by God's decision, by his discretion, I guess I would say. So a lot of people wonder, where are we now? And I mentioned this in the prayer at the beginning. Well, are we at the beginning of the end times? Were we at the end of the end times? Well, we can't be at the end of the end times because the tribulation has not started. And we don't get raptured out before the tribulation. We get raptured out at the end of the tribulation. That's clear. I'm not going to go into that any deeper and any further, even though 3 days ago, God gave me yet another passage. I got to kind of add this to my book about the rapture revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events that proves yet even further. There's no pre-trib rapture, and it has to be at the end of the tribulation. But I can't say, take me off course here. But God doesn't share this shelf space with anyone or any country. But what it does say in 2 Thessalonians is that in the latter days, and I mentioned this came up in my prayer at the beginning of the program, that he's going to send a strong delusion upon the earth such that people will believe a lie. I have a sense, and this is just only my sense, that we're not in the middle of that, but we are at the beginning of that. And it will pick up speed fast. One of those lies is that, we don't need to help Israel. They're nothing special. They're over and done with the New Testament. That is a pile of hooey. That's a pile of garbage, balderdash. Or as Joe Biden would say, that's malarkey. So that is where we are, I think, at the beginning of this. But there's something else here that I think we just have to understand, that when it comes down to this particular issue, whether it's the relatives of this one listener or these other various people that have written in, or others, unwittingly or otherwise, when you embark on this path, you've actually become a friend of the enemy. You've become a Muslim ally. You've become a friend of the so-called Allah. You've become, as Hitler said, a useful idiot. And you become partners with the Palestinians, together doing the work of the devil, who we know to be the father of lies. That's who you're facilitating when you push this anti-Semitic dogma or try to rip present and physical day Israel right out of the Bible and throw it away. You're doing the work of the enemy. Repent. Read the book of Romans, for goodness sakes. I don't know how you could read it thoroughly and come away with any other conclusion. And there are going to be people that will try to mislead us, and which is true for the end times, because it says in the end times there's going to be false prophets. That watch out for the false prophets, the false teachers. There will be some that will be seem good. You know, I don't know if you saw the interview of Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson from about a month ago. I touched on it. I don't want to go deeply into that. I did not like Tucker Carlson's haughty behavior. I like him generally. He speaks to things that I can generally identify with, although he's really screwed up when it comes to Israel, I personally think. But if you put all your faith in these individuals, like one person said, you know, I personally saw Tucker in Arizona, and I could not believe how profane he was. In fact, he said he was so profane and foul that he had to get up and leave. I could take no more of it, because he wasn't on TV. It was more of a private session. Now, there's a lot of good things he's done, but be careful who you are listening to, and get to the Word. You don't need to read articles about who so-and-so says, whether Israel is really the true Israel and why we don't need to be supporting them and all that. Forget the screwball articles, and don't send them to me either. But read the Word. Read the Word. I'm thinking about a new T-shirt. I get pushed to these things, and my wife will say, Why do you just sometimes get these cockamamie ideas? I laugh. I don't know. I don't know. You answer that question. I can't. But I'm thinking about putting together a T-shirt that just says guilty on it. Big letters on the front. And below that it says, I am a zealous Zionist. Zion is Jerusalem. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I taught my children to always pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the territorial integrity of the nation of Israel. And guess what? They both serve the Lord. They both love that nation. They both pray for it. If they do something wrong, and they do, it's up to God to discipline them. They're not our children to discipline. They're God's. Please listen to this.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for listening today. If you have somebody that you think would be blessed by this message, be sure and send it on to them. I remember, I say this on the other program, sit tall in the saddle. God bless you. We'll see you next week.